Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts. Thank you guys, everyone who's subscribed and rated and reviewed the podcast. It's a big help. Please continue to do so. In today's show, I'll be joined by Tyler Watts, and we're going to be going over the news of the day and also some of the box scores. Take a look around, see what's going on. Tyler, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Tyler, before we get into the news of the day, I want to do a check-in with our Lakers fan. How are you feeling about the season so far, 10 games or so in?
Well, they did win yesterday, right? So that was a positive.
Are you at the point of the season where you're still rooting for wins, or are you rooting for losses?
Honestly, here's usually what I root for. I root for it to be at least a competitive game. Okay, when their defense leaks like a sieve and they give up like 130 points, it really makes me want to just tear my hair out. Like, they don't guard anyone half the time.
And but so, at some point, aren't you starting to root for lottery balls? Like, are you still kind of hoping they have like a chance to make the playoffs?
I don't really think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like, you just want to be able to watch the game till the end. When they're down by like 30 in the second half, you're just like, do I keep watching or do I turn it off now? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, what do you do? Yeah.
You don't want to throw away this, or you don't want to have to start watching other teams 10 games into the season.
Right.
I get that.
And I'm just like, you know, some of the guys they play too, like, oh man, it drives me crazy. Like, if you're trying to tank, why do you never play D'Angelo Russell in the fourth quarter at all?
Okay, so that was going to be my next question, because there started to be some pretty good rookie performances of players drafted after D'Angelo Russell. Are you still on board with the D'Angelo Russell pick, or are you wishing they would have picked someone else?
I honestly wish they would have picked Jahlil Okafor, but I thought that from draft day. Like, I thought that Okafor was the guy they should have picked.
Well, he seems like a pretty big no-brainer. At this point, I mean, you never know. It's a crapshoot on draft night, but so far he's looked great. Porzingis has looked great.
Yeah.
Like, would you trade Russell for Porzingis?
I think I definitely would. Porzingis to me on draft night though was just like, it was so much of an unknown, because like I had never really seen him play at all, and so it was like, you know, like that could blow up in our faces big time.
What about Moutier?
I like Moutier, but again, he was kind of the same thing on draft night where, I mean, what, he played like six games in China last year. So it was like, I was like, what is this guy going to be, you know? But I like, from watching him in the summer league and then to start this year, I think he's going to be really good. He's obviously got to get his shooting in check and keep those turnovers down, but I think he's going to be good. I think he might even be better than Russell, sadly.
So, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising for a Lakers fan to not know that Porzingis or Moutier was going to work out, but isn't that somebody's job in the Lakers front office to know?
You know, you would think that.
Yeah.
Did you see that quote that came out where like, and they're like, oh, we didn't know it was going to be good. I'm like, isn't that your job? Like, they pay you millions of dollars. You didn't know? Like, what kind of excuse is that?
There should be somebody in the front office that knows. Like somebody in the Houston Rockets front office knew that Porzingis was going to be good.
You would think, right?
Yeah. Somebody in, you know, Philadelphia knew that Okafor and Porzingis were going to be good. I'm not convinced the Knicks knew, but they took him anyway, I feel like. So they might have lucked out. Anyway. All right. Not enough Lakers talk here. Let's get into the news of the night. We'll start with Jabari Parker. He sprained his right foot, and he's not going to play in any of the next three games. He had an MRI that revealed the sprain. It looks like he's not going to be playing at least until the 23rd against the Pistons. So, you know, his performance wasn't really up to snuff before this. I think if you have to use his roster spot in a standard league, I think you've got to drop him at this point. You agree with that, Tyler?
I do agree with that. That dunk the other night was cool, though.
He's had some great dunks. It's kind of too bad he had this setback.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think he was just kind of like turning the corner there and like kind of ramping up. And then, yeah, this happened. So,
yep. We've got some early news out on the Atlanta, from the Atlanta side. They have a game on Tuesday. So that, if you're listening to this, that will be tonight's games. Jeff Teague and Kent Bazemore will not play in those games. Kind of figured Bazemore after the ankle injury, if you saw that, would be out for a few games. I'm kind of surprised to see Teague has already been ruled out. That's not a great sign. And obviously, Dennis Schroeder should do well in if you can stream him or in DFS if you want to play him there. Do you think anybody picks up like a significant portion of the minutes from Bazemore?
Well, they've been saying about Sefolosha maybe starting, or I actually saw a tweet today from one of the Hawks beat writers that said that Lamar Patterson might start. So I think they might just kind of chop up those minutes, you
Yeah, I'm
know.
not sure there's like a clear winner in my mind as far as like somebody I would target as a stream option or a DFS option.
I agree completely on that.
Klay Thompson practiced on Monday and is probable to play Tuesday versus the Raptors. That should be a pretty good game, Raptors, Warriors. You seem to think Klay Thompson is a good buy low candidate at this point. Is that true?
Yeah, I do. Do you think that they like regretted sitting him out the other night when it was like really close right down to the end, and then it ended up going to overtime and they ended up pulling it out?
That would have been embarrassing if they lost to the Nets, that's for sure. I mean,
That's
I
kind
guess
of
in hindsight they're probably fine that they sent him out, but I'm sure they were sweating it in the fourth quarter.
what I was thinking. Like, I was just watching the game. I was like, oh man, I bet they're really sweating that decision right now.
Ricky Rubio is questionable to play on Tuesday versus the Heat. He did practice on Monday, so it seems like maybe more of a game time decision than they're leading on. But obviously, that will affect LaVine. LaVine had a great game the other night when Rubio was out. So you want to keep tabs on both of those guys or either of those guys for daily games or if you're trying to stream in LaVine. Bradley Beal did not practice on Monday. Draymond Green, sorry to bounce around, but he in the Warriors game, he is questionable with the flu. So keep an eye on him if you've got him in your lineups. And then I think that's about it. Do you have any notes that come from games not to tonight?
No, that's about it.
You have a pretty good note there from about Nicholas Batum. You want to share that with us?
Nick Batum has been going crazy in the last four games. He's averaging 25.5 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3.8 three-pointers. And he's also shooting 57% from the field and 58% from beyond the three-point line. So he is just playing out of his mind right now. And obviously, he kind of like started off slow, adjusting to his new role on the Hornets, but he's really looking good right now. Are you trying to
Yeah.
buy? Are you trying to buy him?
I think you would have a hard time getting him in like a season-long league. You might be able to ride his, I'm not sure where his salary is in like a DFS play, but I would imagine the Nick Batum owner is pretty excited about the performance at this point. Is probably not selling him. I will tell you one place you could use him though, is in if it in your no halftime challenge.
That sounds like a good idea right now.
Yeah. So what's cool about the no halftime challenges, if you haven't heard Tyler, is you can go on and you can challenge a one versus one matchup. So like, I mean, I like playing daily fantasy. I don't know if you do, but usually what prevents me from playing on a given night if I don't play is that I have to find eight players that I'm happy with that fit within like a salary structure. And what I like about no halftime is that if you have just one player, like you like Nick Batum, if you are excited about Nick Batum, you think he's going to have a great game, you don't have to find like seven other guys that you need to go out and push, push into your lineup and hope that they all do well just so you can take advantage of what like your Nick Batum play. Like you can just have Nick Batum, you can challenge one of your buddies, or you can just challenge the public in as a whole on Nick Batum. So you could throw out like Nick Batum versus, I don't know, Chandler Parsons or
Carmelo Anthony, they play the Knicks tomorrow. You could do that.
yeah, that would be good. Or if you want to be a little sneaky, you could throw him out a Nick Batum versus Draymond Green, where Draymond Green is questionable for the game.
Oh, there you go. He's got that flu. He's going to be
Yeah, that all you need
handy.
is like 1 point from Nick Batum, and Draymond Green may not even play.
Would be awesome if that
Yeah.
happened.
I would only suggest doing that against your buddies. Like, don't try to. I wouldn't do that against like your general public, but
don't make enemies over the internet.
Yeah, that's generally not a good idea. But if you could pull one of the pull that over on one of your buddies, that would be pretty exciting.
That would be just to razz him a little bit about that.
Yeah, or even Jabari Parker. You know, he's sitting out 3 games.
Oh yeah, and he had that cool dunk yesterday. Which
people got excited. You could send him a highlight of the dunk, and then like 5 hours later, send him a challenge.
That you got a lot of good ideas here, Mark. I'm liking this.
I've been thinking about this a lot. the other cool thing about no halftime, just to wrap up, their sponsorship of us here. They do not only NBA, but they do NFL, Major League Baseball when they are playing Major League Baseball. I don't think you can do that right now, but hockey, college football, college basketball, and any other sports. I think I saw a soccer challenge on there. And the very best part, like the cherry on the sundae here, Tyler, is if you sign up with the promo code BBALL, that's BBALL, you get a bonus $25 to play with. So again, you know, take your $25 free, go challenge your buddy, challenge him for Nick Batum versus Jabari Parker. And then you can turn that $25 into $50 or $45 or however it pays out. And then you really got something going.
It sounds like I'm going to be rolling in the no halftime dough tomorrow.
Exactly. Once again, that's no halftime. Use the promo code BBALL. All right, Kyle, let's get into this and look at some of the box scores from tonight.
Let's do it.
The one I got up on the screen right now is the Mavericks and 76ers. Just a couple of notes. I think the big news of this game was that Robert Covington came back. Do you want to share with our listeners how Robert Covington did in his first game back?
Robert Covington came back. He scored 7 points. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He missed all 4 of his 3-pointers, unfortunately. But he was held to 20 minutes tonight on a minutes limit. But he looked good, I thought. So
yeah, you watched this game. You watched most of this game. How did he look?
He looked good. The shots, a lot of them were just rimming out. And I think he looked good. He's ready to ramp up the minutes, I think, here pretty quick and, you know, take right off. Be the player we all thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year.
So you think now is the time to pick him up?
Yep.
If he's healthy, if he's healthy, he's ownable in every single league.
He is a great source of 3-pointers and steals.
And he does just fine in rebounds. He's sort of a flawed player in that he's not going to shoot very good percentages, but rebound, steals, and threes. I mean, really, threes and steals is where he really makes his hay, but he also contributes just fine in like points and rebounds.
I would agree. I would definitely pick him up if he was available. And I might even, if he's not available, I might even try to buy low, maybe like the worst player on your roster, try to trade for Robert Covington.
Strategy. TJ McConnell had his best scoring night of the season. He scored 13 points on 6 of 9 shooting. He still didn't take a free throw.
You were so disappointed. I know you were.
Well, I have to admit, when I saw that he'd scored 13 points, I was curious as whether it was a three-pointer or a free throw, and I was crossing my fingers that it was a free throw, but fortunately it wasn't. Still had a very good game. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block.
Do you watch any 76ers games?
Yeah, I do. I actually like how the 76ers play.
They are really fun. They play that up-and-down kind of fast pace, but he never takes on anyone.
No.
So it's going to be really hard for him to get fouled.
No, he has no interest. It's still kind of preposterous that he hasn't shot a free throw at this point.
It is, but I don't know how he's doing it. My
theory is that he shoots underhand free throws and that he's trying to not show the world that that's how he shoots his free throws.
Are you sure he doesn't do that between the legs grandma shot?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. Like the old Rick Perry. He doesn't want the other players to make fun of him, so he's trying not to get to the free throw line. The other kind of interesting thing that happened in this game is that Chandler Parsons was limited to 20 minutes. He was on a minutes limit, but he scored 20 points in those 20 minutes on 8 of 11 shooting. What do you mean? Like, it seems so strange because the way they split up those minutes, he played 18 minutes in the first half and then 3 minutes in the second half. I'm not quite sure what to do with Chandler Parsons. Like, the performance looks great, but the minutes limit is sort of worrisome as well.
I agree with that. The crazy part about this game is I think they probably planned on splitting up the minutes, but he was just playing so good and he couldn't miss a shot in the first half. And he was literally the only person pretty much who was scoring for them. I think they just left him out there to try to get a good lead. They just kept throwing him out there. But he looked good. He looked healthy. This tonight was the first night he had played like 20 minutes. Am I wrong about that?
I think so. I think he'd been at 15 or under thus far.
And so, I mean, if you're a Chandler Parsons owner, I guess you got to hope that they keep ramping up those minutes. And he's actually kind of played tonight like a little bit of point forward. I mean, he was handling the ball like a lot of times, bringing it down the court, which, I mean, you got to like that for his fantasy potential. But if he's only getting 20 minutes, he's a hard guy to own.
I guess I think that if they've ramped him up tonight that and he played so well, I think if there aren't any setbacks, you'd think he'd get more minutes increasingly. So I guess the story here is that you should try to pick him up or buy low on him if you can. I don't think he's dropped. I think he's owned on most leagues.
On ESPN, was he not ranked like in the top like 40 at the like during draft season?
I think he was, yeah, I think he went early. I think he got auto drafted. Like everybody who didn't show up to the draft, he ended up on that team in every league.
Was insanely high. I remember that because I remember laughing about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Mavericks are kind of tough to figure out. They sat all of those players the other night. I think everybody played tonight. Dirk played 31 minutes. Deron Williams played 33 minutes. Wesley Matthews played 30 minutes. And then, yeah, Parsons played 21 minutes. So that's the closest I think they've been to healthy all season. It'll be interesting to see how they manage Parsons' minutes going forward. I guess we'll just keep an eye on that. Moving over to the Pacers and Bulls game, that was a tight game. We've talked about Miles Turner a few times, and I kind of don't feel like he's even good enough to be talked about. But well, there's an official timetable set. He's expected to miss the next 4 to 6 weeks with his thumb injury. So just keep an eye on that. George Hill sat out this game due to an illness. So he didn't play. In his stead, it looks like they started Monta Ellis at the point guard position, and then Joe Young and Glenn Robinson both got a little bit of time off the bench. As fill-ins for George Hill. Neither of them did particularly well. I don't know that there's a lot to gain from looking at this box score on the Pacers side. Is there anything you think is interesting there?
Nothing really out of the ordinary.
I mean, they barely, I don't know. Kind of ugly. I'm not sure how they stayed so close here. On the Bulls side, Nikola Mirotic continues to struggle. He only played 17 minutes. He had 6 points and six rebounds. How did you? I think my feelings about Mirotic were well documented before the season, and I was a big fan of him. We were suggesting, Kyle and I were suggesting that he go as a fifth round pick. How did you feel about Mirotic before the season?
I hate to say it, but I was in the same boat as you guys. I was big on Mirotic this year. I think that last year he just showed, kind of in like a per minute that he was going to score. He was going to hit three pointers. He was going to rebound the ball. He was going to put up a lot of good stats. He had that triple one potential, three pointers, steal and a block. And so I was pretty much drafting him everywhere. And it's not looking great right now, but I'm still holding steady.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do. I mean, the funny thing is, he had like two or three great games to start off the season, and he has been just terrible ever since. I'm
Yeah,
not sure what to make of it.
that was weird. He did. He started off like a ball of fire, and then is it just because Noah like has or Taj Gibson like tonight? Taj Gibson was the one who got hot, but last night it was Noah in the last game where he had like the 18 rebounds. Are they just like kind of trying to play a hot hand thing? Is that what you think they're doing, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I was texting back and forth with Kyle and Josh Lloyd, and we were kind of trying to come up with theories. And one of the things we talked about was that maybe it was due to that he and Rose don't play well together. And I looked it up, and his field goal percentage with Rose on the court is like 32%. It's not great when Rose is off the court. It's like 42%, but his usage rate is down when Rose is on the court. His field goal percentage is down. So I don't know. Maybe it's just an issue where they don't mesh well together. I'm not ready to throw in the towel on Mirotić yet. I do think he is a streaky player. So I think you kind of have to ride the ups with the downs. I guess at this point, I'm just crossing my fingers that there are going to be ups in the near future.
Well, there's a good possibility of that. Did you see the news that just came across there?
I just saw it the exact same time you did. Why don't you share?
Derrick Rose hurt his ankle and he exited the game with the 2 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I think we've heard this story before, maybe.
I'm not sure I categorize it as good news, but good news
for if you're a Miritich owner, I guess it's good news. I mean, it's never good news when someone gets hurt. I get what you're saying.
The other interesting thing in this game was that Tony Snell started and played 29 minutes and Doug McDermott came off the bench. Now, McDermott's still outscored Snell. He had 11 points on 4 of 9 shooting. He didn't do a lot else. Snell didn't do a whole lot either. I kind of feel like if they're going to play Snell, that neither of them will have fantasy value here.
I heard right before the game tipped that they thought it was more like a defensive matchup thing was why they were playing Snell tonight to try to guard Paul George. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what some of the beat writers were reporting there in Chicago. I kind of feel like they're just chopping those minutes up so much that it's going to be hard to own either guy.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen the thing with Snell. He's just not worth owning in standard leagues. Let's see. Let's move on here. Next game I want to talk about. This was kind of I guess nothing surprising with the Rockets and Celtics anymore, but the Rockets lost another sort of blowout game. They lost to the Celtics 111-95. Let's start with the good news, I guess, on the Celtics side. Jay Crowder continues his good season. He had 16 points, 2 steals, and a 3-pointer. Shot 7 of 10 from the field, and was, you know, this isn't always the most important stat, but he was plus 24 for the game. So pretty solid outing for him. Marcus Smart had like a very Marcus Smart type of line. He played 30 minutes. He's 1 of 11 from the field. So he only had 4 points, but he had 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 steals. You'll take that, won't you, Tyler?
I would definitely take that. I'm actually a big fan of Marcus Smart. He plays such good defense. And I think that Brad Stevens he's one of the few guys on the Celtics that Brad Stevens just seems to really like to play like the good minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's one of the very few guys on the Celtics I can actually get on board with owning.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, all right, let's do, I like to play this game once in a while. Who are the ownable Celtics in a standard league? Let me read you the starters and you can tell me yes or no. Amir Johnson.
No.
Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder, I'm going with because these steals right now are insane. I'm pretty sure he's still leading the league.
Leading the league in steals. Jared Solinger. I think that's the interesting one.
Jared Solinger. I'm streaming him right now. Is that acceptable? Yeah,
that's fine. He hasn't tricked me into owning him yet, but I'm sure he will soon. Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas is ownable, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart is like my 13th man in a lot of leagues. I'm not going to lie.
He's a head-to-head. He's great, I feel like, in head-to-head, particularly if you subscribe to our recommended punt strategy where you don't have to worry about that 1 for 11
right,
and the 2 for 4 from the line, but it gets ugly to own him in a roto league despite the 5 steals.
I can definitely understand that, yes.
And the 5 turnovers. He's just like... Oh man. Is there anybody else that you feel like is ownable on this team?
Not at all. I'm never a big fan of their guys just because it's so up and down with the minutes. I mean, one night it's 25 and then it's 10 and then it's, you know, it's just all over the place.
Yeah. On the Rockets side, Ty Lawson continues to struggle. And we saw a dip in minutes, although I guess because it was a blowout, they really expanded the bench. The leader in minutes tonight was Trevor Ariza, who was actually questionable coming into the game. He probably had his best game of the season. He played 32 minutes. He shot 7 of 16 from the field. He made 4 3-pointers, so he had 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 steals. That's really what you expect from Ariza, you know, multiple steals and multiple 3-pointers. And he struggled a little bit this season, so I'm glad to see he got going. Nobody else did much for the Rockets. The Rockets have been so up and down this season. Are you worried about any of their big guys like Howard and Lawson or Harden or Jones? Are you? I guess Jones had sort of a good game for Terrence Jones. He had 15 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 steals. Four assists.
I feel like Terrence Jones, since he came back from that injury, has been playing pretty well.
Yeah, he has. I probably misspoke there. I'm thinking mostly of the other three, Howard, Lawson, and Harden.
I'm not going to lie. Howard scares me.
Yeah.
A lot.
Go ahead.
Well, just because, it's like, he sits out the back-to-back things now, which I get they're trying to keep him healthy. But it's like, I don't know. Like, seems like every season it's just something pops up and he misses, a month.
Well, and if he's going to sit out back-to-back games, that really limits his productivity, I think. Like, in a weekly league.
Right.
Or, excuse me, in a head-to-head league. If you've got to make a decision whether to put him in your lineup or if he's missing games and you're missing games as a result, I think that's hard to deal with.
Right. Yeah, he's not a guy I would be trying to acquire, even, when he has a bad game like this, just because everything just seems so uncertain with him all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't try to buy low or something on him. All right, let's jump over to the – let me just make sure I didn't miss any notes. Oh, Patrick Beverley. He is out of a walking boot with his ankle injury, but he has no timetable to return. That's a deep league only note, I'm sure. Let's jump over to the Thunder and Grizzlies. Kevin Durant, there's some news finally came out about Kevin Durant, which is great. It's not necessarily great news, but usually with the Thunder, we get so few updates. Any news is welcome. He's expected to miss at least the next two games. So that would mean the first time we could see him, according to this timetable, is on Friday versus the Knicks. Hopefully you saw that note early enough that you were able to adjust your lineup accordingly. If you had a weekly lock league, that's not for sure that he will be back Friday. That's just the earliest that he can return. He says that he's feeling better. Reports are that things are progressing, but you never know with hamstring injuries. So keep an eye on that, but you won't have to worry about him until at least Friday versus the Knicks. And that means that we continue to see, I don't even know what to call Russell Westbrook when he plays without Kevin Durant. I haven't come up with a good term for it, but it's definitely a different Russell Westbrook than we see with Kevin Durant.
I like to call it maniac Russell Westbrook.
That's a great term for it. Maniac Russell Westbrook. You want to tell us what Russell Westbrook did tonight?
Russell Westbrook tonight had 40 points. He had 4 rebounds, 14 assists, 3 steals. Now, he did have 8 turnovers if you play in that kind of league, but he also had 5 three-pointers, was 13 of 19 from the field, and 9 of 13 from the line. So he pretty much crushed it.
Yeah, if you're complaining about his 8 turnovers, you're an ungrateful person.
I completely agree with that.
And looks like they finally started Anthony Morrow, but Deion Waiters played 38 minutes off the bench. Basically, Kyle Singler is a de facto starter, and looks like they actually played Deion Waiters. He's had a couple of nice games, and he's playing big minutes. Are you getting sucked into Deion Waiters yet?
No, I mean, I picked him up in a 14-team league I had just to stream him for the last couple games. I needed some three-pointers, and I thought with Kevin Durant out that he might be able to get me a few. But I'm trying not to get sucked. I'm not picking him up in any 10 or 12-team leagues. Let's put it that way.
In his last 5 games, he's averaging 16 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a half, and a steal, and almost 2 three-pointers. So if we know that Kevin Durant's not going to be back for a couple of games, and I think you're right, if you need three-pointers, that's probably the scenario where you pick up Deion Waiters. Don't be embarrassed to pick him up if you need three-pointers, though. You might feel a little bad about yourself, but if it helps you win your week, it's worth doing.
Did you see that crazy report about him that he wants to join the Sixers, and then someone reported that their Sixers would offer him a max contract?
Yeah, so why in the world would that report come out right now?
I don't know, but why would the Sixers offer him a max contract?
I don't understand. I don't understand this report at all. Like, there's no way the Sixers are legally allowed to say anything about what they would offer somebody on another team. So, why are they leaking it if it really came from the Sixers? Is it just their – I'm curious, is it just the agent speaking? Or is it Deion Waiters speaking? And why does Deion Waiters want to leave the Thunder and go play for the That's really all you need to know about the 76ers, if that's true. Or, I mean, about Deion Waiters, if that's true, that he would rather play for the 76ers than the Thunder.
His only saving grace is, I guess, he's from Philadelphia.
Yeah, well.
But, I mean, still not I wouldn't want to do it myself, but.
I guess if they're willing to pay you $100 million, I would do it too, but.
Well, and you got to think they're probably the only one willing to pay that.
They can't. Sam Hinkie is too smart to do that. I would be knocking on like the Lakers' door.
No, please don't.
Sam Hinkie is, agree or disagree with his building style, it's not like he's made a bunch of dumb signings. I can't imagine that's the first place they spend money.
Actually, they were talking about this in the Sixers pregame today. They were talking about when will the Sixers make the playoffs? And they were saying that they think the Sixers need to go out and sign like a couple of veteran free agents to ever like make the playoffs. And I was thinking, like, are you considering Deion Waiters one of those people? Because no, I hope not.
I hope not, too. The Grizzlies, this game just went final. The Grizzlies actually won this game 122-114. Nothing too interesting stands out to me on the Grizzlies box score, except for the Mario Chalmers line. Oh, get this. Mario Chalmers, in 23 minutes, he went to the free throw line 15 times. He made 13 of those. He shot another 13 times from the field. He made 6 of those, including 4 three-pointers. So he had 29 points off the bench.
He went to the line 10 times last night, too. Did you see that?
I missed that, I guess. That's a lot of
In two games, he's gone to the line 25 times.
What is going on with him?
Are those the only two games he played with Memphis, right?
Yeah. His career average of free throw attempts per game is 2. So kind of an interesting trend. I don't think he's going to have enough playing time to like be fantasy relevant, but if he's going to score more than a point a minute, it's something to at least keep an eye on in deep leagues for a little while.
Well, is this what you think's happening? They're just like sticking him out there with like that second unit group and no one wants to score. So he just takes the ball to the cup every time.
Maybe he was being guarded by Deion Waiters tonight. That's my only thing I can figure.
Campaign got 12 minutes. Maybe he was guarding him.
Yeah, he had a steady diet of Campaign and Deion Waiters. You could score 10 points against those two.
I don't know about all that.
All right, last game I want to talk about tonight. I got mixed up. Or is that our last game? Nope. I wanted to go to the San Antonio-Portland box score. All right, looking at this one, another strong game by Damian Lillard. I haven't heard a lot about his solid season, but he's actually doing quite well. Not that that's going to do anything for fantasy owners. He was a first-round pick, but he's I feel like really upped his game this season. He's playing strongly. Tonight he had 27 points on 10 of 21 shooting. He made all 6 of his free throws. He had 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. Any other interesting performances you want to talk about on Portland?
Let's see here.
Chris Kamen started. He had 2 points.
4 rebounds, 1 whole assist. Yeah, he was lighting it up. what do you think about the Aminu thing with the no steals, no blocks?
Yeah, I mean, so he was high in our rankings coming into the season. He was high on the rankings on our site primarily because he's really good at rebounds and really good at steals and blocks. And so far this season, he still deserves to be as high in the rankings, but his like profile of his statistics has shifted a little bit in that he's not averaging as many steals and blocks as you would have expected. Still getting some of those rebounds. He's shooting more 3-pointers than we expected though, and he's scoring a bit more. So I don't know, I'm still happy that he's doing the thing, or he's doing enough stuff to be fantasy relevant, but I'm a little disappointed that I'm not getting the steals and blocks because I added him in a lot of places to like fit my team and was relying on those categories from him. So I don't want to complain too much, but I do want to complain a little bit.
Are you worried that the 3-pointers are going to drop off?
I don't think so. I think this is just the NBA now where Al Farouq Aminu shoots a bunch of 3-pointers. We're not too worried about his percentage. And so I think he's going to fire him up enough that he's going to get a few in every game or not like 2 per game, but he's going to get, some in.
The only thing that worries me is like the last few years, well, pretty much for his whole career, he shot like 27%, and now he's shooting almost 35.
Right.
And so it's like, is this going to just plummet down slowly as the season goes on?
I guess I should clarify, like, I probably expect him to shoot sub 30% or right around 30%. I just think he'll shoot enough, like, that it won't necessarily hurt his fantasy value.
Understood.
Yeah. On San Antonio's side, I think the news of the day was that Kawhi Leonard returned. He played 31 minutes, had 19 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 three-pointers on 8 of 15 shooting. No turnovers. That's a heck of a 9-category line, isn't it?
I'm thinking that might be the best of the night.
It very well could be.
Other than Russ. Crazy Russ. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It might. He might. In a head-to-head league, I think you want Russ. And in a 9-cat roto league, I'm thinking you probably want Kawhi.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Danny Green had. He also. Let's see. I think he was out last game. Sorry, this isn't very good reporting here. I think he did. He miss?
No, he played.
He just played badly.
It was the game against Philly, right? He didn't play well.
That's what I was thinking. He had kind of a good game tonight. Played 29 minutes, had 12 points, including 2 three-pointers, had a block. You know, that's like, I feel like there's a lot of people that saw Danny Green high in the rankings and drafted him and then were disappointed. This is kind of what Danny Green gives you. Like, he sneakily gives you blocks production. He usually gets some steals. He gives you enough three-pointers. But he's not going to score more than 10 or 12 points per game.
He's a guy I've picked up in a lot of places just because, I mean, him and Trevor Ariza, I think, are a little bit kind of the same type of guy that, like, they kind of both got off to a bad start and they don't score, like, a ton of points. And so some people look at that and they're like, oh, I don't want this guy, and they just ditch him, and that's the kind of guy I'm grabbing.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge continues to not have as good of a season in San Antonio as he did in Portland. Played 34 minutes tonight, but only scored 6 points and 6 rebounds. So if you're keeping track at home, I don't think that means that when I suggested to trade Mirotić for LaMarcus Aldridge, I think that's probably still a fair trade at this point. They both had 6 points and 6 rebounds tonight, I think.
I'd still want Mirotić. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd still want Mirotić.
That's a bold call. I don't know if I can go that far. I think I want Mirotić. Like, I want Mirotić because I want Mirotić to be good. But I don't know if I could say for sure. I think he's going to have a better rest of season than LaMarcus Aldridge is. But you believe so, huh?
I'm believing.
And I guess we should mention, Tyler, you do your own projections. So
yeah,
it's not like you're just spewing forth nonsense here.
Yeah, I mean, I do my own projections, and I obviously I had LaMarcus Aldridge higher all the way until the point where Mirotić was starting, and then I actually had Mirotić ranked higher than Aldridge to start the year. So I'm sticking with my projections.
Very good. Stick with your guns. All right, the Lakers game is not wrapped up, so. Let's just take a quick look at the news. Markieff Morris did not play in this game. He tested out his knee in warmups, but it did not work out to the point where he could play. So he's still out. No word on how long he'll be out. Expect Mirza Teletovic to get the playing time in his absence. Are you streaming Teletovic anywhere?
I have not been streaming Teletovic anywhere, but he's another guy. If you need three-pointers, I'd be picking him up in the deep league.
Yep, good call. Anything else we need to talk about tonight?
You want to hear another Lakers hot take?
Sure, absolutely.
From watching the games, I seriously think that their current best player is Jordan Clarkson.
Interesting. That doesn't bode well for the D'Angelo Russell pick.
It does not at all, but like just from watching the games, I'm like, you're not even their best guard, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying to think, is he our highest ranked Laker in the rest of season projections? Actually, that's a good segue into the last thing I wanted to talk about tonight. Let me see if I can pull this up on the screen. So let's see, is this up now? All right, I know this is everything. So if you go to fantasypros.com, one of the and rest of season NBA rankings, one of the people that you can now select is my rankings.
Wow.
From the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Looks like you have to have more than just one. I want to sort this. So we'll take everybody's, we'll take the consensus rather than just mine. Trying to look for the highest Laker.
Oh, wow. This
looks like Kobe. They have, we looks like we have Kobe at 91 and Clarkson at 92 as a group. So he's our, he's probably, I mean, considering Kobe's injury woes, you would probably say Clarkson is their best fantasy player.
Plus, I think Kobe just, Kobe tries to not play like Kobe should probably play anymore.
What does that mean?
Well, he tries to shoot so many like three pointers and just the, he doesn't have the lift anymore on the jumpers, it looks like. And like, if they would let him hold, like be the point guard, he would put up some crazy fantasy stats. Like, did you see the, I mean, last night when he played the 36 minutes, it's the 6 rebounds and 9 assists. It's because they let him handle the ball more. But when they don't let him handle the ball, he's out. I mean, he's always been an all right 3-point shooter, but he's never been a great 3-point shooter. And when he only wants to shoot 3-pointers, it's just, it's not his game.
Should we peek at how Clarkson's doing midway through the fourth quarter here?
I've already peeked. I'm not going to lie.
He's our leading scorer, man. He's got 17 points.
I'm telling you, just from the eye test, he looks like their best player.
Should be a fun next couple of seasons in Lakerland. That's true.
Let's not talk about it.
All right, man. Anything else you want to talk about before you sign off?
No, I'll just mention that in that same game that Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe are both playing really well.
Brandon Knight. There we go. Well, not the most challenging defensive team they've played against this season.
That's a good daily fantasy tip right there. Play your guards against the Lakers.
When I used to have to give daily fantasy advice every night, that was pretty much my advice. Go figure out who the Lakers are playing and then figure out who the Jazz are playing and don't play against the Jazz and do play against the Lakers.
I told you they like to give up like 120 points a game. So, I mean, why not? Just play anyone who starts. Play anyone who's going to get minutes.
Speaking of daily fantasy, tomorrow's podcast, which will be Wednesday's podcast, we'll be having our daily fantasy sports expert, Daniel Green, on the podcast to help us work through our daily fantasy lineup. So you can look forward to that. Tyler, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter if they want to ask you a question or something, or tell you about how much the Lakers are doing terrible this season?
Yeah, I'll accept both. I'll be willing to answer any questions on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444. So that's WATTSY4444.
Awesome. Thanks everybody for listening. I really appreciate it. Hope you had a good time. If you haven't rated and reviewed the podcast yet, go check it out on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen. Give us a rating, please. Try to be nice. We appreciate it very much. It helps keep us high in the rankings, which is helpful. Until tomorrow, when we talk about daily fantasy sports, I hope you have a good day and talk to you then. Bye.